Sophia.
And this is Breakpoint Radio, your irregular takeaway of tech news, views, and cafe reviews.
Anyway, all right, so today we're breakpointing from
Starbucks,
which is
my favourite place.
It's nice, it feels a bit more low key to usual. It's kind of not
and it's
up
nice
in the clouds.
Quiet. And
yeah, that is a bonus. Let's see how it goes. Oh, should we get the ball rolling? I'm trying to think what's happened since last time we did this, too. I suppose we had the aborted effort of doing this with Ida and Martin, but that was nice. I liked Wagamama's.
Wagamama's near Victoria Station's really nice.
Yeah, just too breezy, too blowy. So, all right, I'll jump in then. So, going through the notes I've got and stuff that's kind of happened over the past week or two. Some stuff around kids coding, Snapchat custom stories.
I like the idea of this.
Anyone who's into their social?
I'm obsessed with Snapchat. I think they're smashing it. It's a shame that certain companies are stealing their ideas.
Although, are refining and improving them.
Well, although Facebook face filters are actually really good. And I noticed you can do it on a phone call, which I like.
Have you done the calls on them?
Yeah, it was really, really good. But it's,
the kids love that. The fire-breathing dad. Oh, yeah.
I know, but I feel a bit bad because it's stolen. It's a stolen idea. I realise that happens a lot, but Snapchat were killing it, and then Facebook got scared. And
yeah, there's probably a whole separate thing about, innovation and competition.
Yeah, but it's so obvious because they're the two big social media giants at the moment. I guess Snapchat are a bit of the underdogs.
Well, I don't know. I suppose if Facebook ever phoned and said, do you want to do some of our social stuff, that would be an interesting call to have. So, because they got enough money and enough users to... They could pretty much dominate almost anything that they turn their hand to.
That can sometimes be the problem, because then they can...
Kill everyone else.
It's like the big supermarket giant opposed to, like... Local stores, that kind of problem.
Yeah, though I would like to say that I've got no problem with big supermarket giants too. So, anyway, the keynote that shocked me. Did you read that?
I did. It was really interesting.
Interesting.
I think it's easy to forget that we are more powerful than we think. As a developer community and a technology community, I think we often showcase how powerful we are when it comes to our stance on things like encryption or privacy on the internet and things like that. I think technology is often the community that really pushes back on that. And that's good, but maybe we should show that power in other places too.
Yeah, it's funny. It reminded me of, a bit of self-promotion, but it did remind me of a blog post that I put together about 6 months ago, which was about kind of gig economies and how that doesn't necessarily... How people like workers for Uber and Deliveroo, you can kind of take lots of liberties with their rights that you can't do with people in tech.
On a side note, rare commodity. Sorry to take over this point. Somebody told me about a thing with Uber, and they're apparently going to start charging people what they think that person will pay for the service.
Wow, okay.
How interesting is that?
All right. That's so. Just how are they going to? What the driver gets to determine it, or it's determined by the software, or
the user's interaction with the app.
Right.
So they'll notice if you go on, you look at a price, and you turn off.
Right. Okay.
They'll be too expensive, so they. I don't know.
So
I have to look more into it, but it's an interesting concept.
So if you ever watch Click, the BBC show, there was one. Two or three episodes back about voice interfaces and things like Alexa and Google Home and one thing and another. And one thing that they found was that actually there's like the first hit on a voice interface on a search result is the one that you'll always go for. Mm. And what the effects would be of using voice interfaces for like differential pricing. Mm. So if you're in the street and you see someone and actually interact with them, they might charge someone else a slightly different price for something than you, because they can kind of read your emotions and gauge what they'd charge you. whereas that doesn't necessarily map to like the voice interface.
That's
voice
really
activated
cool.
stuff.
It's annoying, but it's cool.
I'll add a link to that episode of Click into the notes too, because
yeah.
it also went into all the kind of privacy and security issues with it. So their case was like they it's heavily staged, but have an answer phone next to your kind of Alexa, your Amazon Echo, and someone phones up, they get on your answer phone and they go, "Oh, Alexa, turn the lights on. Alexa, open the front door." Mm. And all the stuff that can be triggered by the voice commands. That.
But you know what, though? Speaking... So I'm no way saying that Alexa listens when it says it doesn't, but there's been a few cases where I've talked... I don't know whether it's my phone or something in my flat. I've spoken about something out loud.
And then you got adverts.
And then I've got an advert for
it. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I suspect everything gets... Where's the recognition happen on the device, or
I don't know. I don't know whether it's my Alexa. I don't know whether it's my phone. I don't know whether it's
because I thought things like Android phones were listening all the time and trying to stream stuff to decipher what you were saying. So yeah, it's heading to that kind of. Well, I suppose at some point it'd be like that uncanny valley thing where people would just have that sense of revulsion and just stop using tech at home and all this kind of jazz.
Yeah, I watched a clip from a film by someone this morning, and it was talking about how social media is our new reality, and all these things in the media, like these politicians, these crazy caricature politicians, are making us angry because that'll just fuel more clicks.
Yeah,
and
you
know,
Kate Hopkins. So
well,
don't
yeah.
get into the Kate Hopkins thing.
No.
But,
anyway, so it was a really interesting concept of like our reality is changing. Everything on the outside isn't really real because it's not what the thing that we live in and the thing that we are most affected by is all online.
Yeah, he's getting to the Black Mirror society.
It's getting close.
So
yeah.
Time to work on that sci-fi book.
Anyway.
Did you see the thing about competitors versus being collaborators? And
no, I didn't actually.
So this was a bit about market economies trying to force people into being competitors and who's the first mover advantage, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But actually, in reality, both tribes and socially, we work better as collaborators.
Mm.
We work better with each other to try and make something happen than competing against each other. I don't know. I think
that's
maybe, yeah.
Well, I'm reading that book called Sapiens.
Yeah, okay.
And it talks a lot about how we started, and the reason why humans are as powerful as we are is because we're actually able to work together. And the reason we work together is because we're the only species... I might get this wrong.
No,
we're the only species that can actually talk about make-believe and talk about things that aren't real. Every other species can say things like, oh, there's a tiger across the mountain, and that helps them survive.
Right.
But we're the only species who can make things up. And that's meant that we can build these social constructs bring us all together.
You seem very pleased with that. I mean, I know that I'm terrible if I don't collaborate on things.
Mm.
If I don't collaborate, they won't get done.
Mm.
So,
I know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's ironic in a way because, I mean, without going into like a pair coding thing, I don't really like pair programming.
I love pair programming.
I don't like pair programming unless I'm stuck on something.
Mm.
So I like it when it's basically talking through a problem with someone. But if it's just the kind of...
Both of you can do it.
Yeah. If it's like, actually, this is a bit that's known to everyone and...
Do you not see it as like... A problem shared is a problem. What's the saying?
Yeah, problem shared, problem halved.
Mm.
Yeah, it was. But only when there's a problem.
I know, but sometimes you get tickets and they're not hard, they're just tedious.
Yeah.
It's nice to share that with someone. I guess it depends who you're pairing with, if you actually like the other person, I guess.
Yeah, and
I love the people I'm pairing with at the moment, so that helps.
I like to talk through problems, but not if it's a. Here's the domain model. We've basically just got to type it up into classes, traits, however you want. We've just got to
Monkey code it and then just have a chat. Why not? And then when it comes to actually doing proper challenges, then you've got someone who's seen how it's gone, who's seen it how it's developed, and then you're able to both have that insight to help solve the problem.
Tell you what, I've done coding like pair interviews before, which it just doesn't naturally fit into the way that I prefer. So I don't mind like sitting and coding or sitting and talking about something.
But
coding, yeah, it's like cooking a meal and describing kind of what you're doing as part of the recipe. No, I'm either doing it or I'm talking about the recipe. I don't like doing the two at the same time because I just get too.
That's interesting.
Yeah, once I'm on the track, that's it. So, all right. Oh, and the inclusiveness of tech.
Oh, I really like this.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm more aware than others about how to make something inclusive, just because I'm one of the more lesser represented groups in technology. However, there are so many things on this list that I had never ever thought of.
Yeah.
Things like thoughts about which foods you supply for lunch, thinking about having someone there. I've never been to a conference where they've had a person doing sign language.
Yeah,
and I wonder whether that's just because, I don't know. I wonder, because I was thinking maybe it's because there's never been anybody attending who said they need one, but then it'd be cool if you already said that you had one before the tickets went out, so that people who were hard of hearing or so on would be more attracted to coming. I don't know.
In fact, I don't think I've ever seen a tech conference where the videos have been put online and they've been annotated afterwards.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, maybe YouTube will auto-annotate them, I don't know.
I think there's I might be wrong, but I think there's a way that you can submit subtitles for YouTube videos.
Right.
Okay. I might be wrong.
Yeah, this must be your kind of bread and butter, surely.
I do like stuff like this. Yeah.
I mean, thinking ITV-wise, there must be a way that if you're dealing with clips that you can...
We outsource all our subtitles.
Yeah, okay. That's probably to software or to people or to... Actually, I shouldn't really ask.
I don't actually know.
I think YouTube will auto-annotate some stuff, because I'm sure that I've seen kids on the phone and you can switch the subtitles on and off on everything. So... I think a lot of this had been kind of kicked off or kicked around because of LambdaConf recently and the type level code of conduct stuff that's been kicking around, which I am going to scoot right past.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, so the nice thing about LambdaConf, though, is that it does generate a lot of conversation out in the open. So, I mean, it's an awkward thing. There's a lot of strong opinions out there. But it's almost better to air it and get people talking than sweep it under the carpet.
But I also think it's also quite alienating to people who don't want to get involved. Like, lots of people just want to come in and do tech, and they just want to talk about tech. And I think when these issues are being talked about,
it's a barrier.
It's a barrier because sometimes lots of people just don't have time to deal with this kind of stuff.
I mean, Devil's Advocate, the videos for all of these things are online and the content all looks solid. It's just all the stuff, the kind of noise that goes around it that does put a lot of people off.
Could put a lot of people off.
Not get involved.
Shame.
All right, some other stuff that I kind of skipped past. Node V8's out. Itzio was out as a kind of Google collaboration thing about monitoring microservices. Possibly controversial idea about making indentation semantic installer.
No, I hope not.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
No, I don't like it either, to be honest.
It feels like a necessary rule.
Yeah, I don't think there's that much noise in adding braces and things like that.
And I really like that Scala can be written in so many... I'm probably in the minority.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But I really like that there's no rules and you can pretty much do what you like. I've worked with someone who's had very interesting layouts to their code, and I just think it's variety. I think it's nice.
I suspect that if the semantic indentation happens in Scala, there'll be lots of pre-compile or pre-checking rules to remove all of that.
And that's just what you want, not the compile time.
Well, it's just going to be, I suppose it's like tabs versus spaces argument, +++. But
yeah, I guess what I don't like is forcing something.
Scasti came out as a public release. Blog post about leaving Scala as
harsh.
I'll tell you what, there feels like a wave of people who are being put off at the moment.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think it's in the media. More present, but I don't... maybe. I don't know.
So this is off the fact of, within a week, there was the Leaving Scala post by, a long-term committer, and there was the Warts of the Scala Language post that came out.
Do you feel like it's being hit hard?
people that I talk to don't do Scala stuff all say, oh, well, I was going to look at it, but it's still far too complex. And it's like,
it's weird because to argue. Scala was my first language that I really got into properly. And I don't see a hell of a lot of stuff that people talk about. I just don't see it. I don't really understand it. And I don't know whether that's because I'm from a very different perspective of it being my first language and stuff.
So I suppose that the opposite case is that people say that the language and what you can do with it can be quite complex to reason about.
But it's so interesting.
But other languages, the syntax is not as complex, but the amount of things that can go wrong are very complex to diagnose and stuff. So, like, if you're doing stuff in raw Java, you've got threads all over the place. When something goes wrong there, that can be close to impossible to diagnose. You don't really have those problems in Scala.
No, I feel like I'm hidden from all of that kind of stuff. Like, somebody was asking me about the performance of our algorithms and stuff, and I was like, I don't know whether it's Scala, but I'm hidden from all of that.
Well, I still think there's maybe a big place, a bit like the type, a bit like the Astronaut's Guide to Shapeless. I still feel like there's a place for a very, very lightweight book like that of just getting bootstrapped in Scala. Yeah, I mean, there's stuff out there that's a bit more weighty than that, like the Creative Scala, Essential Scala, those kind of books. But I think there's still a place for a very, very lightweight kind of zero to Scala.
I will say I did a day of JavaScript last week. And honestly, banging my head against the wall, it was painful.
Not the most fun.
It's just so open to... There's just no structure. And I, going from Scala where there's, like, a way of doing... Like, yes, there are lots of different ways of doing something, but there are rules and...
Yeah.
You know, going to JavaScript was just painful.
To be honest, I get the sense that if you have lots of rules that people understand, then you have the boundaries at which you can be creative. And when there's no rules, well, that just becomes like noise then. Just an opinion. All right, blockchain-wise, JP Morgan doing a partnership with Zcash, which could be very interesting.
Bitcoin's gone crazy this week, the last week, didn't it?
Yeah, it's going all over the place.
Lots of people have made some money.
Yeah, I saw Manning just released a Grokking Bitcoin book too, which should... So they normally do like the series of Grokking stuff, which is like cartoons explaining how stuff works. So the Bitcoin one should be kind of interesting. And they've done some other stuff, but anyway. DockerOps-wise, James Gosling joins AWS, which I thought was like a massive deal, but it seemed to go by quite quietly. James Gosling.
I think the news is tough to get a front spot on at the moment.
Gosling, yeah, no, you're probably right. That was probably swallowed up by Google I.O. happening.
And also, current affairs.
Yeah, well, no, there's a real world too. There's a real world outside of tech, I get.
Does your Twitter feed not just get flooded with other things?
So I suppose my Twitter stuff is either tech stuff or stuff that's slightly left of centre.
Yeah, but but all the tech people, do they? So there was this thing, I think, around the EU referendum where a lot of tech people were complaining about their feeds being bombarded with pro-EU. Well, I would say that a lot of academic or technology, they're very, naturally... Not naturally, but
no, majority, a lot of funding and a lot of collaboration that happens. So
yeah,
they are very most tend to be pro-EU.
So leaning towards left as well.
Yeah,
a lot of tech people were complaining that their feeds were getting flooded with politics. Did you not see all that?
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe I've just got into a workflow with my feeds where I just skim that stuff very quickly. So
I feel like it's happening again, but I'm not opposed to it. I think it's part and parcel with like. Life.
What is it? So there used to be the idea that this goes back to kind of Anne Curry's post, though, about the worst keynote thing.
Yeah.
But there used to be the idea that people in tech were at some point intended to be like the kingmakers. So there's a set of analysts called Red Monk with James Goodner, who used to go out and do talks saying basically the future is all dependent on people in tech shaping it.
Yes, please.
Yeah, well...
I think we're one of the only industries where... I've seen that we're proper divas and we fight for like
can be
bottom up manage. No, wait, what? So what?
Yeah, no,
what's that saying where it goes the other way around? So
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
No, in a normal company. It's like board of directors, top-down management, and we are striving for the other way round. And I think there's not many industries who can demand that, so I think there's some truth.
No, you're right. Bottom up, one of my favourite phrases. Google I.O. happened. I was thinking we've got like 2 minutes to get this done. Google I.O. happened. Lots and lots of interesting stuff there, including bringing about kind of VR as first-class citizens. Lots of AI stuff in there.
Did you know there's football clubs who use VR? After they've had a game and they've made a mistake, they put VR on, they replay the situation, and then the footballer can get used to what it's like to react in a better way. So, like, it comes around instinctively the next time.
Yeah, kind of did. But I did a lot of years in gaming where we were looking at that stuff for a long time.
But it's one thing being gaming and one thing being, like, training you for real world.
Like, mine was sports. Mm. So, yeah, we were looking at all that kind of stuff in sports. We were also looking at the time at things like virtual horse racing. So much like you have, like, Premiership Manager or whatever, you have that for horse racing. People bet on the profile of a horse being similar to artificial Shergar or whatever. So, yeah, I've looked at some of that stuff in the past. All right, we're on the end finally, thank goodness. LOL commits. Not for everyone.
Wait, what's this one?
LOL commits is before you make a... I think when you make a commit, it opens your camera.
Camera and takes a picture. I thought it would be that. I thought that was hilarious. Have you seen some of the example cameras?
I dread to think. I might not be pulling that one down. And Mass as well. By any scan, this metal as a service. I just like the idea of them. I just like the name of it, to be honest with you. But I think it's renting out service. I don't think it's quite as interesting as it really sounds on the surface. Interesting stuff coming up. AWS Summit, that should be all right, coming up in London. All these container sheds and all the rest of it. Scala World.
I'm so excited for Scala World. It's my first time.
Okay, it will be my first time too.
Woo-hoo.
And it's, it looks really good.
Are you doing all the activities?
I don't know if I'll do the weekend before. I don't know the logistics of it. I need to talk to the gang. I'm thinking maybe Airbnb or something, but I need to talk to the rest of the team, find out what we're doing. But yeah, tons and tons of other bits and bobs coming up.
SwanseyCon?
So that's the thing, SwanseyCon normally clashes with Scala World too, but it's like 2 weeks after.
Nice.
But yeah, I won't be able to. It's one or the other, and I don't think there's a Scala World next year, so probably try and do it this year. Alright, we're done for now. I'm supposed to be 10 minutes away.
You're
10
late.
Minutes ago. I'm super late. Alright, let's park this. Until next time.